All right. Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. When you stand it, please, or when you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. We're going to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. Ready? "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity, and dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help me to be a blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, use the Word of God and the message that you've given me. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use it for your honor and glory. We'll praise you and thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon tonight is "The Past, Present, and Future of Every Christian." The past, present, and future of every Christian. You know, the thing about it is I love the communion time, and I believe it's coming up next week. And so you don't want to miss it. And you know, the thing about it is the communion has three communion looks. We look back to remember Christ's death for us. You know, this is why the Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." You know, the thing about it is one thing I love is that God takes and he likes to remind us of different things. You know, in Joshua chapter 4, and I'll read it, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they had lodged, and laid them down. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." And then verses 20 through 22, the Bible says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground." And here's the thing communion is kind of like the same thing, as far as we're looking back at what Christ did for us. And here's the thing is that I believe it's an awesome opportunity, number one, to teach our children on what Christ did for us and how Jesus Christ came down and was born of a virgin like we celebrate at Christmas time. But you know what? He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He came on this earth and he lived a sinless life, and you know what? He was a spotless Lamb of glory. He died on a cross for our sins. And the thing about it is, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Now, the thing about it is the Bible also says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us are sinners. Any one of us that's honest with ourselves realize we've sinned. And the thing about it is that if you're not sure that everybody has a sin nature, just watch a child. And here's the thing is, when I was a child, they had difficulty watching me. But the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, we're all sinners, and Christ died for us. And the thing about it is we celebrate communion, and it reminds, here's the thing, is it's a reminder, but also it's a golden opportunity for us to teach our children about what Christ did for us. But at the same point in time, it's a good reminder for us to, hey, keep this in mind, this do in remembrance of me. And the thing about it is that we look to, number one, we look to what Christ did. We remember Christ's death for us. And also, we look inward to face up to what's within us. I'll never forget, my mother-in-law kind of irritates her a little bit when I use her as an illustration, but she's not here, and feel free to tell her anyway. And, anyways, here's the thing is she used to tell my wife, you know what you deserve? And, anyways, the answer to that was hell. And, you know, but the thing about it is it was a golden opportunity to teach her kids that, hey, you know, hey, listen, you know, everybody cries, well, that's not fair. Well, the thing about it is if we got what was fair, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Death in the Bible is always talking about a separation. When we die, our spirit or our soul separates from the body. And the thing about it is that the second death, which the Bible is talking about right there, is a separation from God in a place called hell. And the thing about it is the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's talking about that second death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, the thing about it is that you know what? I'll be honest with you. When we look inward and face what's within us, you know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times we don't like what we see. I remember Pastor Yant. He was the Spanish pastor in Pasco, Washington, and sometimes he would preach the high school chapel. And I tell you what, Pastor Yant was one of those ones where he just preached it hard and right down the line. And if you paid attention, here's the thing: is if you didn't pay attention, he'd call you out. You know, hey, so-and-so, sit up, pay attention, this is good for you. And anyways, my mom's laughing and my dad, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the thing is, you know what? He would preach hard. He preached out of love. And the thing about it is, you know what? Every time I listened to Pastor Yant preach, he opened up the Word of God and he made me stop and think about my spiritual state. Now, this was good in the fact that I realized when I compare myself to the Bible, I realized that there are areas in which I can improve. And so, but anyways, here's the thing is, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but also we look forward to the Lord's return when we celebrate the communion. And I tell you what, one day Christ is going to come back, and I tell you what, you know, that's going to be a glorious day. And so, but here's the thing is there's also three other important looks. And number one is we need to look at the past to be humble. You know, as a preacher, I look back at my past, and I remember some of the first times I preached. And pastor's laughing because he has some of the same experiences, maybe not as bad as mine, I don't know. But here's the thing is, I remember, it was a Christmas service, and Pastor Dignan had asked me to preach in his church. I was just new to Bible college, so what I did was, I thought, you know what? I've heard preachers and they've got all these cool sayings and stuff. So I compiled a list of sayings, put a bunch of verses to it, and it flopped miserably. And so anyways, I'll never forget there was one guy sitting back there, sitting towards the back. And the whole time I'm preaching, he had this look and he just kind of glared at me with his arms folded. And a few people went forward at the end just to make me feel better. Or maybe they were praying for me. I don't know. But I remember as a teenager preaching in the mission. And I tell you what, nothing more nerve-wracking for a teenager than to preach in front of a bunch of their peers and then a bunch of people that don't really care. They're just there so that they can get the food at the end. But here's the thing is, you know what? That was a great opportunity. But here's the thing is we need to look back at the past to be humble. Where Christ saved us. You know, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And you know what? When I look back at my past and I realize before I got saved, I was on my way to hell. The Bible says I was a child of the devil. Here's the thing is, you know what? Hey, listen, before that, I look back and you know what? There was nothing good in me. Now the only thing good in me is Christ. Amen. And so, we look back and to be humble, we need to look at the present to be grateful. God has been so good to us. You know, the thing about it is I look at where I am today, God has just been so good. And just all the blessings and here's the thing is that anybody that's been walking with God for any length of time, we've all got stories about answers to prayer. We've all got stories about how God intervened in our lives. And you know what? God is so good. And just the other day, here's the thing is I was having a kind of an off day. And you know what? I walked into this gas station. There was this guy walked by with a big old smile on his face. And I felt like God wanted me to say something to him. And you know, I kind of pushed it off. I went and grabbed a pop out of the door, and he walked by again smiling. And here's the thing is, and so I stopped him. I said, "You know, I really appreciate your smile." And he kind of stopped and looked at me. He's taken back. And I said, "You know, I just felt like God wanted me to say something to you." And his countenance changed. He's like, "You know what?" And anyways, he said, "I appreciate that." And later on, as I went to leave, he called me over and he says, "I want you to know something." He says, "This lady and her husband has been praying for me. I've been having a rough time." And he says, "You know what? I believe that their prayers worked. And you know what? You just encouraged me that I need to trust in God a little more. If God can tell you to give me a message like that," he says, "You know what? I need to trust God a lot more." And he says, I just praise God for all of you. And, you know, the thing about it is just the little ways in which you see God working. And, you know, the thing about it is that God is so good, and we need to look forward to the future to be joyful. And so here's the thing is that we're going to talk tonight real quick about the past, present, and future of every Christian. And let's read verses 1 through 3 again chapter 2. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, the thing about it is we don't see a pleasant picture when we look back, if we're honest. See, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We all walked according to this world. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." See, the thing about it is, you know what? Just like the Bible says, we used to walk according to this world. You know, we were living to get the lust of the flesh. We were living to gaze, the lust of the eyes. We were living to gloat, the pride of life. And here's the thing is that you know what? Our lives were centered around ourselves. And the thing about it is you know what? We deserved, just like my mother-in-law, joked around, we deserved the wrath of God. We deserved hell. And I'm going to read out of John 3 and verse 36. The Bible says this: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Basically, before I trusted in God, the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on me. Why? Because the thing about it is that, listen, I was lost, and the thing about it is that I needed to trust in a Savior to get me to heaven. You know what? The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot earn our way to heaven. You know what? Bless God. The Bible says it's a free gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what? I'm glad I don't have to buy my way to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to work my way to heaven. All I got to do is accept the free gift of eternal life, a free gift of salvation. And you know what? The Bible says I become a son of God. Amen. And you know, the thing about it is that that is the past of every Christian. You know what? Every one of us, none of us were born saved. And the thing about it is you won't find infant baptism in the Bible. And the thing about it is the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There has to be a time where you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I tell you what, if you have not done that, talk to somebody tonight and trust Christ before it's eternally too late. And the thing about it is you know what? Each one of us, at one point in time, we were lost on our way to hell. But you know what? I tell you what. Those of us that are saved, those of us that have trusted God, at one point in time, we trusted Christ. I'll never forget, my parents lived in West Richland, Washington, and there was a neighborhood Bible time. And I'll never forget, my parents made sure that, you know, I joke around a lot that I was on drugs as a kid. I got drugged to church every time the doors are open. And I tell you what, every time I hear a parent say, well, you know what, I want my kids to choose whether or not they go to church. Here's the thing is, if I would have chose, I probably wouldn't have been saved. I'd probably still be on my way to hell. And I'm so glad I had a set of parents that said, you know what, hey, listen, the doors of the church are open. Bless God, we're going. And the thing about it is that it was a neighborhood Bible time, and anyways, I remember going through the whole week and hearing all the true stories about the Bible and in the Bible, and I remember hearing about Moses and Noah and all these things. And you know what? I remember that Saturday kneeling down in front of the picture or the window facing the street, right in front of the couch, and accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember like it was yesterday. The thing about it is that, listen, from that point in time, my sins were forgiven. You know what? My feet never had to touch hell anymore. You know what? My destination changed. I became a citizen of heaven. And you know what? One day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. One day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. And it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Even as a child, you know what? I was able to accept Christ and place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, the thing about it is the present of every Christian is found in verse 4. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and I got to turn there because I wasn't there. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible has the present of every Christian. See, the thing about it is the past of every Christian was, you know what, we were on our way to hell and Christ saved us. But you know what? The present of every Christian is found in verse 4. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? You know, the thing about it is that I remember when my kids were growing up. They're still growing up, but they were a little younger now. One of them, we were trying to teach them what mercy was. And they got in trouble, and this child was once they learned about mercy, they're like, mercy, mercy! You know, they're trying to get out of their punishment. And the thing about it is that, listen, you know, I'll be honest with you. If it weren't for mercy and grace, I tell you what, not getting what I deserve and getting something that I don't deserve. The thing about it is that, you know what? If I were to pay for my own sins, you know what? I would deserve to go to hell. And you know what? I don't deserve to go to heaven. But bless God, because of the grace and mercy of God, you know what? I'm on my way to heaven and my sins are forgiven. Amen. And what an awesome, awesome state to be in. You know, the thing about it is, but now. You know, the thing about it is that word, but, it's a three-letter word, but it's so important. It's just like this. If Kylie was driving down 4 and she was doing 80 miles an hour like she normally does, shame on you. No, just joking. She's a good driver, I think. And anyways, here's the thing. It's those blue lights were flashing behind her, and the police officer walked up and said, she's getting elbowed. Maybe she's not a good driver. So here's the thing is the police officer walked up and said, Miss Growl, I should give you a ticket, but we got a call. That one little word makes all the difference in the world. Who can testify? Amen. And anyways, the thing about it is, you know what? But God is rich in mercy. I tell you what, aren't you glad that God is rich in mercy? That is the present of every Christian. I tell you what, I am so glad that God has mercy. The Bible says we were dead, but He has made us alive. Verses 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thing about it is we have a new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I tell you what, I don't understand the Christian that wants to go back to those old ways. Go back to that old world where there's no hope, where there's despair. And the thing about it is we're bound in sin, the Bible teaches us. But you know what? I'm so glad that I'm free in Christ. You know, I'm so glad that I am no longer bound by sin. You know what? I'm no longer in despair. You know what? I have that blessed hope. And I tell you what, it was all made possible by His death for us on the cross. You know, the thing about it is that is the present of every Christian. I tell you what, the joy of being able to go boldly before the throne of grace and to be able to say, hey, listen, I'm a child of the King. One of my favorite songs is, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus. I started way too high. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And here's the thing, Stephanie gave me the pitch, it's all her fault. And no, but anyways, the thing about it is, you know what, bless God, I'm a child of the King. I can take, and you know what, I can go boldly before the throne of grace. I can pray and petition the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I tell you know what, the present of every Christian is awesome. And you know what? Verse 7, the future of every Christian, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I'll be honest with you, if you think the present of the Christian is awesome, wait till you read about the future of every Christian. I tell you what, the best is yet to come. You know, the thing about it is that I tell you what, the grace of God was not used up on salvation. You know, the thing about it is that, we sing the song in the kids' program, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. But you know what? You go beyond that, and I tell you what, one day, we're going to walk on streets of gold. Those of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior. And the thing about it is you know what? I tell you what, it's just so awesome. Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, it blows my mind the fact that God would love us. Here's the thing is that so many times I've disappointed God. And the thing about it is to realize that God has given us everything. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand those that don't want to know how to become a Christian. Know what it's like to walk with God. To know what it's like to have answered prayers. I'll be honest with you, one of the most miserable states in a Christian life is to just be on the fence. This is why the Bible talks about, I wish you were either cold or hot. Basically, here's the thing is, when I paraphrase, I put it this way. You know what? God talks about spewing you out of his mouth. I worked on the ambulance way too long. I think of somebody vomiting. You know, the thing about it is that, I've seen a lot of people spew. And, you know, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, I believe that it's because we miss out on so much. We miss out on the victories that we can have as a Christian. We miss out on the answered prayer because simply we don't pray. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, our past, our present, and our future should motivate us to draw closer to Christ. To think about all that Christ has done for us. I was talking to somebody the other day at work, you know, and I was talking to them about being offended. And they said, well, somebody at church hurt me. And I said, think about this for a moment. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Here's the thing is when I get offended, it's because I don't love the law of Christ as much as I should. And I said, think about this. How much have we offended a holy God? And the thing about it is that too many times we take and we've done so much to God and you know what, and here's the thing is God forgave us. You know, I think about the person that owed a debt, and he wouldn't forgive somebody that owed him a little bit when his debt was forgiven that was a lot. The thing about it is sometimes we're that way. And I'll be honest with you, our past, our present, and our future should motivate us to draw closer to a very loving God. I tell you what, one of the most miserable states of a Christian life is one who just dabbles. And, you know, the thing about it is, don't ask me why, Pastor, the Three Stooges song, we poke a little tootsies in the water. anyways, how many watched Three Stooges when you were growing up? I did. And here's the thing, it's too many times we just dabble in Christianity. We just poke our little tootsies in the water, and you know what? We've never experienced how awesome it is to walk with God. So let me ask you tonight, what are you doing with this wonderful Savior right now? Have you accepted Christ? Do you know what it means to be saved? Do you know what it means to be born again like the Bible talks about? If you don't, let me encourage you tonight to get it settled. For those of us that have accepted Christ, is what are we doing with Christ? Are we utilizing every aspect of the Christian life as far as are we drawing closer to Him? Do we know what it's like to have a close relationship with God? Or are we just dabbling? Or are we poking our little tootsies in the water? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that when I look back at my past, I see a very loving God. Dear Heavenly Father, without you, my past would be very dark. Without you, it'd be hopeless. Dear Heavenly Father, I look at the present, and I think, man, how awesome God is. And then I look at my future as a Christian, and I think, boy, I just can't thank you enough. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you work as you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to draw closer to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to use our past, our present, and our future to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, Pastor.